Uncensored.
One name you're going to be hearing a lot about is Patriots linebackers coach Brian Flores. I've spoken to a lot of people about Flores, who was on my rising head coaching candidates list back in October. He is known as a leader. He has a good toughness and an edge to him. Players respect him. He had an interview last year in Arizona. My understanding is he spent a lot of time during the downtime the Patriots had in June and July thinking about how the interview process went, what he was going to do moving forward. I can tell you the Browns have already put in a request for Flores. You can expect the Packers, the Broncos, and the Bucks to also put that in request for him. And the Bucks one is interesting. He worked in New England with Jason Light, who was in personnel for the Patriots once upon a time. Flores actually started out on the scouting side for the Patriots. That's another thing that makes him an intriguing candidate.
Bucks Uncensored is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. At Buffalo Wild Wings, during game day, they have their $5 game day menus. $5 game day pitchers of Bud Light, Miller Light, and Coors Light. $5 select cocktails, $5 burgers and brats. It's the $5 game day menu. It's at Buffalo Wild Wings, the best place to go for the NFL playoffs. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. At Mastro Subaru, you know I've been telling you for a long time, Pete and Steve at Mastro Subaru, they are Bucks fans just like each and every one of you. And not only Bucks fans, they are members of the Bucks Mob. If you're a Mob member and you want a discount on a new or pre-owned vehicle, you go to Mastro Subaru, you tell them you're a member of the Bucks Mob, you get a discount just for being a member. That's it. That's all you got to tell them. Go to Mastro Subaru in Orlando or right here in Tampa off of Hillsborough Avenue near the Veterans Expressway. Check out their entire inventory at MastroSubaru.com.
This is a real movement of real people. You can't stop this movement. You can tell us to cool it or else it's not going to work. We are self-sustaining.
You see how we play as a family. You see what we do as a family. I can't feel my face. And the answer is unequivocally yes.
Bucks Uncensored.
I'm tired of getting disrespected. Yeah. I'm tired of low expectations. I know what we're about. I know what we're about. I know how great we are. Let's keep stacking them W's and let's do it as a family. Let's go. Let's get it.
Determined to find that person that's going to lead us into those successful years that we're all anticipating.
Somebody that knows somebody that knows something about it. And I won't answer now. What, where, why? See, a lot of dudes like to act the fool now. Get on live, but that ain't.
Welcome into Bucks Uncensored. Welcome to 2019, the year of hope. Hope you've enjoyed our podcast over the last couple of days. We'll continue on. The Joes will be back with me, Steve Isbitz and Lee DeKemper from JoeBucksFan.com, here in a few minutes. We'll talk about where it went wrong for Dirk Cutter. Before that, I did want to give you all an update on kind of what we've been seeing, scanning through social media. I know all of you are doing the exact same thing, and I think all of you have the same questions I do. Now, let me tell you this, first and foremost. And I've had a couple of conversations with a couple of friends of mine, a couple of things. These are rules, rules to live by during this time of year. First off, know your source. I'm not talking about the source of the person reporting the news. I'm talking about the person reporting the news. You know, how accurate have they been? Are they a legit reporter? Are they a wannabe? You know, I'm telling you, the blue check mark, like it or not, that tends to be important, especially this time of year. So make sure the people that you are listening to, the people that are out there spreading rumor after rumor, you need to be able to trust those people. Because it is very easy for me to go out and say, you know, the Bucks, they have floated feelers out there to see if it's possible that Nick Saban could join Bill Belichick as defensive coordinator when both unite in Tampa. No, I could throw that out. Nobody could fucking substantiate that shit. You think Bill Belichick? No. Anyone can throw anything out this time of year, and you can't fact check it. Really? Oh, so-and-so is interviewing with... Nobody gives a shit. I could say the Bucks are interviewing, throw out 10 names. All you're going to do is go, well, Justin said it's true. Who's going to... What, are the Bucks going to come out and say, no, that's not true? Who gives a fuck? So just trust who's giving you the news. I'm not... Listen, and I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm not the one that's breaking the news. I'm not going to call agents and shit and let them play me. I want to see how it plays out just like the rest of us, and then we'll talk about it. I know the guys who I'm interested in. I'll get into that in a moment. But it's all right, so trust who you're believing. Please don't fall for fake accounts. It's already happening. I mean, I fell for it and deleted my tweet within a split second because... Fucking texted to me by Christian and Harold, but the fake accounts are already out. Okay, so make sure that if you see news about the Bucks, hesitate for a moment, especially if it's Bleacher Report, NFL Network, Ian Rappaport, Adam Schefter, Jay Glazer. They all have the little blue check mark. So do I. Yours truly. Look for the little blue check mark. If it's not there, it ain't real. All right? Especially from those bigger names. So, who are the Bucks interviewing? I know you're all on the end of your seat. Edge of your seat. Hey, Bruce Arians. Is it Bruce Arians? Has Bruce Arians signed yet? He hasn't. We haven't really heard anything relating to that. Tom Pelissero has said the Bucks are looking at Stewart, the DC from... the Vikings. He also said that the Bucks are going to interview Brian Flores, the linebackers coach and de facto DC. Belichick didn't name a defensive coordinator this year, but Brian Flores has taken that over with the Patriots. And I saw somewhere that the Bucks were linked to Jack Del Rio. They were linked to Jim Caldwell. You're not seeing, I think, a lot of names that are going to excite you. And I'm going to be honest with you right now. I don't really care if I'm excited or not. I don't think a lot of people in L.A. knew much about Sean McVay when he was signed as their head coach. You know, I think when you look at some of the coaches that were supposed to be big name, exciting head coaches, versus some of the guys who maybe weren't the exciting hires. You know, you see some of those guys who weren't the overly exciting hires go on and have success early on. You know, whether it was McVay, I don't know many people out there in LA or with the Rams that thought, oh my God, this guy's going to come in and be the best coach in football. Doug Peterson goes to the Eagles and all right, he was their backup quarterback, but what's he going to do? Oh, win a Super Bowl. Doug Marrone goes to Jacksonville, and while they struggled this year, his first year there, I'm sure that wasn't an exciting hire. A lot of questions for the Jaguars moving forward. A lot of players that could be available. Jalen Ramsey, Leonard Fournette. Let's wait and see who the Bucks bring in as their coach first. But I don't know. Bucks could use a corner. Bucks could use a running back. Jags, you want to make a deal? Let's make ourselves a deal. Hell, we'll just move back a couple of slots and you give us one of those players. Hell, you want to move up a couple of slots and you want our third round pick or hell, maybe even our second round pick and we just move back a couple of slots and give you our second for Jalen Ramsey and Leonard Fournette and your first? Well, maybe I'll take that too. But I wanted to just briefly about the coach. All right, so the names that are being floated out there, you know, we don't know what the Glazers are thinking. Right, we don't know in years past. I mean, this year, the Bucks have already been linked to Bruce Arians, McCarthy, Caldwell, Del Rio, Flores. I mean, pretty much everyone except Chris Richard. By the way, Chris Richard and Flores, a lot of similarities. Again, Flores, linebackers coach, de facto defensive coordinator. Richard with the Cowboys, DB's coach, de facto defensive coordinator. He's calling the plays for the Cowboys. Both are young guys. The only difference I saw between the two, and I need to dig deeper into Richard's background, but Flores started as a scout. He was there as a scout for a couple of years with the Patriots before transitioning to a special teams assistant, and then has worked his way up through Bill Belichick's staff. So I like the scouting background leading into the coaching background. Jason Light was there in New England just before Flores in 2002. Flores started in 2004, but then Light went back from 2009 to 2011, and Flores was there. So there is a connection there. I'll tell you what, I like the intensity that I've seen from Flores in some of the interviews that I've watched, some of the clips that I've seen. That's all I can go by. I don't know what else to tell you. I will tell you this. I will not generalize a coach or a player because of where he comes from in terms of the team that he was with before. So I'm not going to generalize a player in the NFL draft. I'm not going to say, oh, this defensive lineman from Clemson is definitely going to be a bust because he's from Clemson. No, each player should be evaluated individually, no matter who they are, whether they're a player coming from a collegiate program or whether they're a coach coming from a coaching tree. Because just because Bill Belichick's former assistants in the past have not gone on to have success in being head coaches, that doesn't mean that Flores will ultimately go and fail. Now, he could, but I can't just cast that light. I can't just ignore a quality coach in the NFL that's an up-and-comer and could be a head coach very soon, maybe as soon as this offseason, as he was interviewed last year. And I'm just supposed to dismiss that because he's coming from the Patriots. Bill O'Brien came from the Patriots. They're doing pretty well in Houston. So now I know he had a pit stop in Penn State. Still part of Belichick's trade. It's not like he was in Penn State all that long.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm not going to sit here and, you know, deny somebody or cross somebody off the list just because of the team they're coming from. So Flores, I think, intrigues me maybe as much as Chris Richard does. And, you know, you start to learn about guys. Now, does that mean he's going to be the pick? Maybe, maybe not. You know, it could be any of these names we're hearing early on, or the Buccaneers could be lining up backup plans. Maybe it is a backup plan to Bruce Arians. Now, the other thing with Arians that I've been asked a lot of over the last couple of days is 67 years old, health problems already with Arizona. Yes, he does have a connection to Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston has known him for a long time. They are friends. They do communicate. They don't communicate all the time. Let's not act like they're best friends. But when they do see each other out, they have conversations. It's not even acquaintance. It's more than that. I do think that there's a relationship there. And I believe Bruce Arians would enjoy working with somebody like Jameis Winston. I don't know if it even comes down to whether or not there's such a misconception. And I think the media has just fucking ruined the minds of a lot of Bucs fans, a lot of NFL football fans, but a lot of Bucs fans in particular. But I know you listen to this podcast because you know that I'm going to be genuine, and I tell you not only what I think, but I talk to people. I'm not here to break news, but I want to be fair, okay? And I have been fair. You know, when I have players, families calling me, wanting to talk to me because they believe I am fair, whether it's being critical or not, you'd be surprised. Some of these family members for some of these players are more critical of their sons playing football than any of you could be. So just being critical about a player doesn't mean that you're hating on a player. They understand that because they're criticizing their son as much, or their son or brother as much as you are, or cousin, because I've been called by everyone. So I think we got to take that into account as well. But, you know, I want to be fair. I want to be down the middle. And I think when we look at, you know, a player – in the lights of Jameis Winston, you know, while a lot of people have tried to spread this word that no other team would want him, what coach would want to work with him, I talk to people nationally. I have multiple people at the NFL Network that I talk to on a probably monthly basis. I want to get a vibe for how the Bucs are viewed nationally. I want to get a vibe for how Jameis Winston's viewed nationally. And I want to talk to people that are talking to others of much more higher intelligence when it comes to football than you and I. And that means people within the NFL, coaches, front office personnel. And first off, what I've gotten from two people, the Bucs job is extremely attractive. It is extremely attractive. There is a load of young talent. I saw Steve Wyche on the NFL Network say that the other day. There's a look, and it's not, there's a lot of people around the NFL that feel this way. Load of young talent on defense. We know this. We're here. You can see it. Okay. The defense just needs to be molded together. If you're all criticizing Mike Smith for his scheme and then glorifying Duffner for tweaking it just a little bit, and the defense played just a little bit better, imagine if you had a defensive coordinator come in with a true plan. You know, a guy who's been around, who can craft a defense to be attacking. Yeah, that's exciting. And I think this defense could turn around in a hurry, in a heartbeat. And on offense, we know about the young talent they have. This team is loaded on both sides of the ball. And I'll tell you this right now, while people around here, you know, oh, I don't like Jameis, turn the ball over. So it's very simple for fans and media members to read the stat sheet. It's easy. It takes zero effort. But when coaches around the NFL are digging in, when front office personnel are digging in and looking at Jameis's 4 years, and wondering why the scheme changed from his first 2 years to his last 2 years. Oh, it did. It sure did. The scheme, the 1-2-3, the pro style, the running the football, the play action pass, the offense Jameis Winston should be in, the more reactionary offense than sit 7 steps back in a pocket, wait for long developing routes to develop, and then try and read a defense after that while you have one of the shittiest offensive lines in the NFL? Does anyone else think that's smart? Well, people around the NFL didn't think it was smart either. So while Jameis Winston got a lot of the criticism around here, there's many around the NFL that realize he was not in the offense that best suits him. And at 24 years old, he's gone through so many ups and downs that he could be vital and very important moving forward. Most quarterbacks come out of college at 22 or 23. You're talking about, again, you can look at his life in the NFL, 4 years. You should also look at his life on earth, 24. So while he is going into his 5th NFL season, he's only going to be 25 years old, which is just mind-boggling to me, okay? There are plenty of people out there really, really wanting to work with Jameis Winston, especially when you look at the landscape of quarterbacks that are available in free agency in the draft. You know, if you're a coach and you go to a team that's desperate for a quarterback this year, you better hope upon hopes that that owner is going to give you multiple years to turn around that franchise. You go to Denver where they have Case Keenum, they got no quarterback. They got no shot. No shot. Because there's nobody in free agency. Teddy Bridgewater, please. Please. People act like he's a savior. Fuck, let me see him do one thing in the NFL, and then maybe I'll start to change my mind. But right now, he's a backup quarterback. Backup quarterback until he proves otherwise. You know, where are these coaches going to go? Where do the Jaguars think they're going to get a quarterback? They got to trade up in the draft. There's really, but Haskins is the only one now. It's like nobody in the draft, nobody in free agency. So, fuck yes. Fuck yes. if you're a potential coach out there, I'm looking at the Browns and the Bucks jobs. Those are two jobs I feel I can win quickly and have a lot of success moving forward. You go to Arizona with Josh Rosen, you don't know what you're getting. You go to Miami with Tannehill, if he's there, you don't know what you're getting. Where else? Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, okay. If you're looking for a short-term fix, do it. What other jobs are open? Cincinnati with Andy Dalton? Where else? What other jobs are open? Any jobs that are supposed to strike fear that somebody would choose the Jets with Sam Darnold? Maybe. But you, I'm thinking about the rest of the talent they have on both sides of the ball. I guess it depends on how you view Sam Darnold and how you view Jameis Winston. I haven't watched much of Sam Darnold at all. I've watched everything out of Jameis Winston. I think it's a push. I mean, it has to be a push. Two guys around the same age. Here's what I would do. You know, I like Chris Richard, and the more I've dug into Brian Flores, I like him. I'm still intrigued by, you know, Jim Harbaugh, if that was the case. I'm trying to keep my mind open and think of outside-the-box candidates, because the Glazers always seem to have one guy that's like, oh, I didn't think about Chris Peterson with Washington. Oh, yeah, I didn't think about him. Or I don't think Mike Leach. I just don't. Well, Jimbo Fisher. Well, people are like, what? I don't know. I mean, you might as well throw out any name that could be out there with the Glazers. Now, the name that makes the most sense is Bruce Arians, right? We all want to get the hat. Some of us have already gotten it. Tags on it, can return it. But I'd love Bruce Arians. 67 years old. I mentioned it with Jameis before. Knows him, 67 years old. How long is he going to be around? So if you're going to go after Bruce Arians, you need to have a succession plan. Now, first things first, where are the Browns going with their job? Personally, I hope they go outside the organization. I don't want Greg Williams. I don't want Freddie Kitchens. I don't want them to keep those guys. I want them to go outside the organization. I'm fingers crossed it's Mike McCarthy. Love Mike McCarthy. I actually think that would be a good fit. Mike McCarthy working with Baker Mayfield. I think that offense would fit Mayfield. And I think McCarthy would set him up for some success with Cleveland. Now, if that were to happen, I think that frees up Freddie Kitchens, who took over for Todd Haley, offensive coordinator with Cleveland, did a great job with Baker Mayfield. Freddie Kitchens was Bruce Arians' running backs coach in Arizona. So here's my plan. Listen, first off, Arians has to be in. He's got to want to do it. He's also got to be healthy enough to do it. And his family has got to back him to do it. Then you got to get everyone else lined up to do it. So, yes, this is my fantasy land right now. But I guess just hear me out. I think it's a decent idea. And I'm just not sure if this is an idea that the Glazers... And I have not heard this anywhere. This is clearly an assumption. Pieces together. How would it work with Bruce Arians being 67? I mean, how many years is he going to still coach? So let's say Arians wants to coach. We've got the contract. We figure it out. Bruce Arians is a head coach. Freddie Kitchens available. Let's get him. He's our offensive coordinator. He proved he did a good, really good job with Baker Mayfield, and he can work under Bruce Arians. On defense, let's do it. Todd Bowles is out there. Worked with Arians. Sign him. Spend some money, Glazers. I know that, hey, listen, I am not going to be critical of the Glazers spending money. I believe they will. They always have. They'll spend a lot of money. So if you want them, you get them. Todd Bowles, defensive coordinator, and you keep Buckner as your defensive line coach. Fill in the rest of the coaching staff however you want. You come to the agreement with all involved. Sorry, Todd. I know you've been a head coach. Maybe he doesn't like this plan. Maybe he likes it because it could set him up for at least one more shot at another job. But in 2 years, I go ahead and let Bruce Arians step away. You're only going to have a head coach for 2 years? Yeah, I'm going to let him step away and go up into the press box. Bruce Arians would become my president at that point. And I would promote Freddie Kitchens, who has aspirations of being a head coach, groom him for 2 years as an offensive coordinator, and allow him to step up and be promoted to head coach. That is the succession plan. And then at that point, if Todd Bowles is still around, he can be the defensive coordinator. But Todd Bowles could very well leave. Man, if the Bucs have success, you know, top coordinators are going to get options to go and coach again. Todd Bowles could be one of those guys. You know, we've seen guys get one shot and then get another shot. You could see that out of Bowles. So if he were to get that, then I would promote Brenston Buckner, who at that point I think would be ready to be a defensive coordinator. But if Todd Bowles is around, then he can stick on as defensive coordinator at that point. Again, it's a 2-year plan that could turn into a 5-year plan. Is it going to work? I don't know. How does that work financially? Are you giving too much to Bruce Arians, saying that he's going to come here and be? What if he's not successful as a coach? What if you don't want him as a president? I don't know. That's a lot of questions, and that's why I don't have to answer them. I'm just giving you an answer as to how some sort of plan could work to get Arians in, settle down the organization, set them up for success, then move his ass up to the press box and oversee everything. Sounds simple. It's sure not. I'm on the edge of my seat. I'm checking social media all the time. I can't wait. I am filled with hope. With hope. But where did it go wrong when we had that hope with Dirk Cutter? To me, it happened somewhere between the 5-game win streak in 2016 and the start of the 2017 regular season. The Joes from JoeBucksFan.com, Steve Isbitz and Lita Kemper join me next to talk about where it went wrong for Mr. Cutter. This is Bucks Uncensored.
Bucks Uncensored.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight. I don't want to lose your love tonight.
Thank you to each and every one of you. I figured the numbers would be pretty high coming off the news and the joint podcast and everything, but just absolutely massive numbers. Really appreciate everyone that listened to our podcast the last couple of days. Very excited about the JoeBucksFan.com podcast network moving into 2019. Some big plans ahead. I've already gotten so many people messaging me about the draft party. You know when the draft is. You know I'm having a party. Book your flights now. Book your flights now. That last Thursday in April, Thursday and Friday, it's a 2-night event. We had a combined 1,300 people there last year. I wouldn't be surprised if we got over 2,000 this year. You're talking about a season. You're talking about a draft coming off a disappointing season where the Bucks weren't disappointing enough, so they couldn't get one of those top players and then traded down. And Vita Vea, I think, is going to be a phenomenal player, man. If I'm a defensive coordinator, I'm excited to work with that guy. Gerald McCoy won't be back. I mean, Jason Light was flat out asked. Jason, hey, tell me about Jameis Winston. Oh, he's under contract. He's definitely coming back. He's our starter. Hey, Jason, tell us about Gerald McCoy. Oh, wait. I forgot. Why am I telling you these things when I can just leave it to the guy himself? So, Jason, tell us about Jameis Winston.
Jameis Winston will be here. We have him under contract for a year. He has done some amazing things for a young 24, turns 25 in a week. Quarterback has accomplished more than most of the elite quarterbacks have at his age throughout that career, that time span. There's a lot to like about Jameis. Jameis will be here next year.
Wow. Wow. It's the general manager. I mean, he just flat out told all of you, Jameis Winston will be here next year. And he won't be your starting quarterback. Now, he didn't say that the new coach has to be blah, blah, blah. And I'm not blaming Jenna. She didn't write the headlines, but she did defend it. Whatever. But just whatever. You know what to do with the media. Take it with a grain of salt and move on. Come on. Hey, Jason Light. You were very, very direct about Jameis Winston. What about Gerald McCoy?
Well, we have a lot of tough decisions to make. A lot of people have a lot of tough decisions to make, and that's moving forward here into the offseason right now. It's about finding that head coach.
And just so any of you, or you know, I don't want anyone to think that I edited that together for Jason Light to talk like that. Here's the question leading right in to the answer.
Yeah. Obviously, Jason, there will be some turnover with this roster. Speaking to Gerald yesterday, he seemed like a guy that maybe felt like he played his last game here. Do you see Gerald fitting in as a part of the long-term plans here moving forward?
Well, we have a lot of tough decisions to make.
Okay. Yow. I mean, I'm not going to play with Gerald McCoy as a game. Gerald McCoy is going to make himself out to be this martyr, and he gave his heart and soul. And that's great. That's great. I hope that most NFL players are giving everything they have, considering the amount of money that they're making. I give my heart and soul every day when I go to work, okay? I think most of you do as well. So, little league's over, buddy. We are not going to go ahead and congratulate you on effort, but you know what? We appreciate what you've done since you've been here, and we do hope that whether you're here or not next year, that the Buccaneers are making the postseason. What that tells me is there could be a lot of moves in terms of veteran players on the roster. Jason Light focused on the emphasis of the young nucleus. I think you're going to see that. I think Lavonte David is okay. I think he's safe. But I think a lot of the other veterans, Damar Dotson, who I like his attitude, not much on, I don't know. I think he's fading a little bit. Gerald McCoy, DeSean Jackson, obviously. And I think you'd look at some of the other veterans on both sides of the ball. And who's going to fit, who's going to stick, and who's going to have to go? Brent Grimes as well. He might even just retire. So Fitzpatrick's likely gone. So you're going to see a lot of these veteran players gone, and they might be turning a lot of it to this young nucleus and, you know, maybe let a new coach go out and get a couple of veterans that coach feels can come in and help the transition. I don't feel that the new coach needs to I want the new coach to come in and win right away. I think it's way, way more important. I don't care if this is the coach's first time being a head coach, second time being a head coach, or 10th time being a head coach. Don't give a fuck. I don't, because you know what? Every great coach in the history of coaches had to be a head coach for the first time. And you know what? Some of them had success. Find me a leader. Find me a leader that can lead an entire organization and be involved on both sides of the ball. Be a true leader. And that struck home with me when Jason Light kept talking about how they needed a leader. They weren't going to look at just scheme or just, hey, are you an offensive guy or a defensive guy? They need leadership so badly. And I think it finally hit them that's what they've been missing for a long time. Not to say Dirk Cutter wasn't a leader. I just think they need strong leadership that does it on a daily basis, that then develops leadership within the locker room, and that leadership controls the locker room. Okay? It's not just about you being a leader yourself, but can you develop leaders within your locker room that can be an extension of you and control your locker room? They've really missed that. Huh. Anyway, love Cigar City beer. You should as well. It's my favorite. Had a ton of it over the New Year's celebration. Of course, mine, my favorite, the Cigar City High Lie. But they've got the Lager, they got the Florida Cracker, they got the Maduro, they've got the Invasion, which is one of my favorites for Gasparilla coming up. And with Gasparilla coming up, you know what is true about Tampa, the Bucks. Okay, yours truly, born and raised, Gasparilla and Cigar City beer. So as Gasparilla comes up, there is only one beer you need to load up on and get down there to Bay Shore Boulevard and downtown Tampa, and that is the beer of your hometown, your town, Tampa, Cigar City. We love them, and we love Tampa. All right, so the Joes and I sat down. We talked about what went wrong for Dirt Cutter.
Bucks Uncensored.
Another segment of combination Bucks Uncensored Monday Morning Joe Ecstasy, because there's a new coach coming on. Is that a name of a podcast? I don't know. But there's excitement in Buccaneers land. I am fired up. I'm Steve Isbitz, of course, of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper is here in the commish.
Yes.
Justin Pawlowski is back. We're chatting it up. We're actually live at Hooters, which is always fun. And
always.
Justin, look, we could talk about this for 3 hours, unfortunately, but we're going to keep it to maybe 10 minutes. The downfall of Dirk Cutter, where did he go wrong? Where did this whole crap show pivot and go into the toilet after, frankly, a pretty good start that had everybody fired up going into Hard Knocks? And, of course, you were leading the charge with everybody fired up because it was there.
I think I know where Lee's going to go, and I'll give you what I thought you were going to say here in a moment. But I think it went wrong in the offseason following the 5-game win streak, right? They're 9-7. There's so much buzz. They did it with nothing on offense, right? They had no weapon. They had Vincent Jackson, who had gotten injured. Cecil Shorts, who then got injured in the Chargers game. Freddie Martino. They had nobody at wide receiver. Cameron Braid at tight end was still kind of an unknown. They needed weapons for Winston. So they went out that offseason, and Jason Light did what he's been prone to do, right? Overcompensate for a weakness. Signed DeSean Jackson, draft Chris Godwin, got O.J. Howard, but in that same offseason, signed Chris Baker. So he got two guys from the Redskins. I'm telling you this, you see this all the time in the NFL, and this is why I was so excited. I think this is why the then Stick Carriers, which has now transitioned into the Bucks mob, we're so excited. And that's because I consider us pretty intelligent fans. When you have momentum at the end of the season, first season as a head coach, my first thought was Tony Dungy had that momentum at the end of the season. Can he carry it over? I think that's what we were all envisioning. You got the young quarterback. You got some momentum. Defense was playing strong during that 5-game win streak. Got the weapons. Now there was so much excitement. We did the takeover. But I think Dirk Cutter believed his locker room culture had changed. I think Dirk Cutter believed his locker room was strong. He said repeatedly, you guys have said it, strong leadership. He underestimated his locker room, and DeSean Jackson and Chris Baker came in and tore it apart. And I think those two signings are the reason Dirk Cutter got fired by the Buccaneers, because if they keep that momentum, you never know. I think those two players by themselves tore it all back down.
You may be right. Now, obviously, the too easy answer is Mike Smith.
That's it. Yeah. I said the moment he hired Mike Smith instead of Jim Schwartz would be yours.
Yeah, that's the too easy answer. But I mean, it's obvious, but it's too easy. You make a hell of a compelling point, and you probably are right. I was going to say, short of Mike Smith, it was the regression of Jameis. And I love Jameis, but he's regressed. Cutter was hired.
I have a counterpoint to that.
Okay. Cutter was hired for one reason and one reason only, to develop Jameis. initially. As an offensive coordinator, he was doing a good job when James was a rookie, and Glazers didn't want to see him leave. That was part of the reason why Lovey got fired. Not the whole reason, part of the reason. They wanted to keep Cutter. When you're hired to do a job and you're not doing that job, you're toast. Part of the reason why probably was DeSean Jackson. There was such a hyper focus on throwing deep DeSean Jackson. I mean, even fans are going nuts on Twitter as if the Bucks will never have a decent offense again. Well, I see teams every Sunday that have good offenses. DeSean Jackson's not on the roster. By the way, DeSean...
By the way, I see great quarterbacks every Sunday miss deep passes.
Too. Yeah, that too. I mean... That too. You know, the standards for James are insane.
Yeah.
Also, with DeSean Jackson... So everybody talks like this guy's a combination of Lynn Swann and Jerry Rice. You know, and like some transcendent talent. Actually, DeSean Jackson is a perfect example why track stars aren't wide receivers. They go, oh, DeSean's fast. He's fast. Okay, what else can you do? Well, he's fast.
So, listen, but you said Jameis regression. I mean, I think we've all talked about the transformation of Cutter's offense. Jameis was really good in Cutter's offense his rookie season and his first season as head coach. It's a reason they didn't have weapons. Yes. They ran the football because they didn't have the weapons on the outside. So they played, they were very pro style, run the football, play action. Jameis, 1, 2, 3, and throw. Don't sit back there and think. Just react and get it to the open receiver. That's where Jameis is at his best. Then all of a sudden, whoa, they had weapons for Winston.
DeSean Jackson getting out of town.
DeSean Jackson, Chris Godwin, O.J. Howard, and now all of a sudden, you know what? Fuck it. We're not going to run the football anymore. We're going to 5-7-step drops, and we're just going to launch it deep every time, and that's not Jameis Winston's game. So in the end, Dirk Cutter is the reason Dirk Cutter's getting fired.
Yeah,
because
of course.
Because he completely changed his offense. He stuck with DeSean Jackson. He was his own worst enemy. He didn't do what was best for the organization. And in the end, you get fired because of it.
Well, I'm pretty sure the Glazers had made their decision before this happened, but when Rick Stroud had an article where someone outed DeSean Jackson with him pretty clear right before Christmas, that was very damning on Cutter in my eyes. Very
you
got to damning.
Imagine the Glazers already knew about
you would
most
think so.
Or all of them.
Yeah, you would think
maybe.
So.
Maybe.
I hope
so.
I mean,
you maybe. Would think so. Yeah, maybe. We don't know that for sure, but you would think so. At the very least, you would think his security would tell him because they videotape everything out
there. Of course.
There. DeSean Jackson walked all over Cutter.
Yeah.
He had no control over DeSean Jackson. So, and it's nonsense, like, oh, DeSean's a leader, and then he makes him a captain. I mean, it was pandering.
Oh, you know,
it was pandering. He pandered
so
to DeSean Jackson.
Forget about. But all that shit with DeSean Jackson and then to make him a captain, I'm sorry, that's a slap in the face to the fans.
Sure.
It's a slap in the face to every other player in that locker room. Like, if you're allowing a guy to get away with that shit and then make him a captain, if I'm another player in that locker room, I'm like, fuck it, man. Well, this organization is a loser because of this shit, and I need to get the fuck out. And by the way, with DeSean Jackson, it can be – I'm a manager now where I work, and when there's somebody negative or speaking negatively or I hate this or I don't like doing this, and they're around my team, I get them the fuck out of there as soon as possible because negativity can spread. It's
you,
just like cancer.
You drop the hammer on them.
Yeah.
That's
and
what
get
Hayes
the fuck out
say.
Of them. Get the fuck and go over to your team. Don't fucking spread your negativity over here.
That's what Woody
and
Hayes
I,
used to
I
say.
Honestly, I'm afraid that DeSean Jackson has rubbed off on players in that locker room. That's my fear moving forward. I don't know who those players are, but I don't even know how you identify it because it might just be a feeling you have inside, but DeSean Jackson, you know he has been talking shit about Jameis Winston and now the organization in this city probably for the last 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
Who has he connected with? There are players in this locker room that are going to be on the team next year that he has connected with that I hope he hasn't infected too much, or DeSean Jackson will continue to tear this organization down even after he leaves.
And to your point, last year, Ian Rapoport had a report, it came out in December, I believe, that there was friction between Cutter and Winston. I pretty much blew that off. You know, the Bucks were adamant that was horse manure. And I blew it off because most quarterbacks don't get along with their coaches. I could cite all kinds of Hall of Fame quarterbacks. They didn't get along with their coaches. I mean, to the day he died, Terry Bradshaw wanted to spit in Chuck Knoll's face. Despised the guy, even though he got 4 rings. So that didn't do anything for him. However, now that we know what kind of ass DeSean Jackson was, it's only human nature. If you're a workaholic like Jameis, And he is a workaholic. You can say whatever you want about Jameis. He's a workaholic. And you're busting your tail, and you're trying to be a good soldier, trying. And DeSean Jackson's getting into fights with wide receivers. He's trying to get you run out of town. He's doing this. He's doing that. And you see your head coach raving about him in public. Like, what the hell, man?
Yeah, and not only is Jameis a workaholic, he's also smart as hell.
Oh,
okay, he's not stupid. So just to your point, I'm glad you made it. He's seeing his coach glorify this receiver. On the same front, Jameis is also not stupid. Why are we running a different offense than we did the previous two years where I had success? I believe there's been friction there. Not to say that there isn't friction between coaches and quarterbacks, but to me, the best coaches put their best players in best position to succeed. And Dirk Koetter did the exact opposite, not just with Jameis, but with several players on both sides of the ball.
You know, we started by talking about the downfall of Koetter, and to me, guys, the DeSean Jackson thing is all on Koetter. All he had to do, and if he's this big MF stick guy and his way, which is Koetter said initially when he got here, what advice did you get? Was a common question to Koetter. He said, I was advised, make sure you do it your way, no regrets. You follow your own thing, and if that gets you fired, it gets you fired, but you do it your way. Now, was his way to coddle DeSean Jackson over and over and over again? All he had to do was sit him and say, Jason, I don't care. I'm not playing him. So that's
Could you imagine if they just cut him in the middle of the season? Could you imagine what that would have done to the locker room? I actually think it would have been amazing,
amazing.
For the locker
What did John Gruden do years ago? He sent Keyshawn home. Right?
Yes.
Send him home. So,
absolutely.
Sorry, you know, we're not cutting you, but we're sending you home. And that could have been done, but it didn't happen. But I got to disagree with you a tiny bit on the running game because, crap, Doug Martin was out there in 2016 running for 2.9 yards a carry. He did it again in 2017. They had no running game since the Koetter was the coordinator, and the guy couldn't build a freaking running game.
Yeah,
and you know what?
Yeah.
That cost him a lot of games. It cost him everybody wondering why the hell can he and Light pick our damn running back? Why was Doug Martin pounding the rock
DeSean
here?
Jackson again.
Yeah.
Well, and this is my biggest question moving forward, if Light remains. Was it Dirk Koetter or was it Jason Light picking these running backs?
Oh. You know,
Charles Sims over Devontae Freeman, Ronald Jones. It's almost like they panicked. Maybe they were targeting Penny or Sony Michel or Nick Chubb, and it's like, oh my God, they all went before us. We got to get a running back, and they get Ronald Jones. All of these great running backs over the last 2 to 3 years that have been drafted, and they got the three probably shittiest ones, Sims, and then freaking Jeremy McNichols, and Ronald Jones, who can't touch the field. Like, and I'm not going to give up on Ronald Jones because just like every player in that locker room, I think they deserve a fresh start with a coach who's going to put them in position to succeed. And by the way, Ronald Jones was never a receiver in college. Why are you trying to make him a receiver and a blocker in the NFL?
Yeah.
That's bad coaching because you're putting a putting a player in position to where that's his weakness, not his strength.
The story I heard about Charles Sims was there was a scout. Lovey's in a meeting, Light's in a meeting. They got the scouts there, and they're going over draft possible players. In this meeting, a scout said, you know, Charles Sims, he reminds me a lot of Matt Forte. Lovey's eyes lit up, and it was a done deal after that. He was going to be a Buck.
Well, you know what, Justin? All this segment does is remind us how long we could go on and on about the screw-ups of the Koetter regime. And now the question going forward really is, how do we pick a guy who isn't going to make the same mistakes? And how do we just not make the same mistakes as a team? We're going to talk about that in another special segment. It's always great to be here with you, Justin. Let it all flow. Yee. Let it all hang out. All right, Bucks fans are fired up because change is in the air, and we love it too here at JoeBucksFan.com. I mean, hope is all we got right now.
We're living on a prayer.
Hopefully the new coach doesn't sign Doug Martin as a free agent.
Ugh. It's kind of an awkward way to end that segment, Steve. I don't either. I hope they don't sign Doug Martin as a running back free agent. But I do want to thank our sponsors. Want to thank Buffalo Wild Wings, Cigar City Beer. Want to thank Mastro Subaru, B4, and Headlines Barbershop. These sponsors continue to fuel this podcast. Really want to thank them for their outstanding partnership in 2018. You know, working to see if they want to stick on board for 2019. But, you know, couldn't do it without them. And, you know, what I love about each of them, every one of them, is really it is a partnership. You know, them reaching out to me and us working together. You know, I'm not out pounding the pavement. I'm not looking to just hook up with any sponsor. I like to have sponsors that I believe in. I believe in the food and the atmosphere at Buffalo Wild Wings. I definitely believe in the beer. It is my favorite beer. Anytime you see me out, it's really the only beer I'm getting. Master of Subaru, I've known Pete for a long time. I know he's got connections to my high school, Tampa Catholic High School, and really believe what they've been in Tampa. You talk about Cigar City beer, born and raised in Tampa. Master of Subaru, my dad bought a Subaru from Master of Subaru in 1984, okay? This dealership's been around for a long, long time. So thank you to them. B4, just tremendous partners. They stock us up anytime we need some of that B4 if we've got big events going on. And, of course, my man Christian at Headlines Barbershop. So this was always a priority of mine when I was in radio. I never just endorsed any product just to make money. There's plenty of other hosts that did that. If I was going to tell you to buy a product, I needed to believe in that product. And I believe in the sponsors that we have on this podcast. So thank you to each and every one of them. Thank you to each and every one of you. Just for what the podcasts have done in 2018 and already to start 2019, it's just incredible. And I'm so excited about what 2019 can mean. I'm so excited about what this year could bring. I'm so excited about a new coach and a new identity and a new focus and a new direction and hopefully new results for our team. You know what? 2018 was the year of go Bucks shit. 2019 for me is three words, two being in common. That's go Bucks, hope.